The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen. We continue to read God's word, this time in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 9, reading verses 37 to 43. It's on page 791 of the Pew Bible, 791. Further hear the word of God. The heading in this Bible is, Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. The next day, after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to him, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said, You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you? Then he said to the man, Bring your son here. As the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. Awe gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word. May he add his blessings to them, and to him be all honour and praise now and evermore. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jimmy and Huey were great friends, and had been for many years. Jimmy was very optimistic about life and had strong Christian beliefs. You know the kind of person, the kind that lives life to the full without worrying too much. Huey, on the other hand, well, he liked to moan. Before we go any further, it's not our Huey. Is it, Jesse? Just moaned about absolutely everything. and took a very pessimistic view of life. Yet, as I said, they remained great friends. One morning, Jimmy woke up. It was a beautiful day. What a great day to go shooting, he thought to himself. So he got on the phone to Huey, and having woken him out of his bed, Huey was as grumpy as ever. He moaned about the heat and the long walk they would face to get to the woods. Eventually, Jimmy had managed to coax Huey to come along and to come round to his house and meet him there, and they would get ready. So half an hour later, Huey arrived. "Do you not think it's a bit warm for this?" he moaned. "Not at all," said Jimmy. "It'll be nice to get out for the day. Just you, me, and the dog." "That useless mutt," Huey replied. "It's hopeless. I've tried this many a time. Never catches anything." Jimmy reassured him that the dog was now a bit older, a bit wiser, and would come in very handy. So off they went to the local woods. Suddenly they came to an opening, and there in the middle of the pond, they saw two ducks. "I love ducks," said Jimmy. "No, they're full of fat, and the meat doesn't taste that nice. They're no good. You're better with a chicken any day." So Jimmy just ignored his last remarks. So Jimmy quickly clapped his hands, startling the ducks, causing them to take off. Jimmy quickly readied his gun and let two shots go. Perfect shots. The ducks fell back into the middle of the pond. "Watch this, Huey," Jimmy said. He pointed at the dog to run and retrieve the ducks. And all of a sudden, the dog started to run on top of the water. The dog made it all the way out to the ducks, grabbed them, turned, and ran back on top of the water towards Jimmy. The dog returned to dry land and dropped those two lovely ducks at Jimmy's feet. "Told you, Huey. Was that not amazing?" Huey looked up and replied, "I knew that daft dog can you swim." Have you ever been around someone like that? A gloomy, negative person who always sees the dark side of things? I know quite a few. None of them here right enough. The glass is not half full, it's half empty. If you propose a plan, they will point out all the reasons why that won't work. Maybe you're wrestling with this tendency yourself. Somewhere you may have picked up a negative, pessimistic mindset towards life. Many Christians even justify their negativity from the Bible and the apostate condition of the church. They seem to have a built-in knack for shooting down anybody who tries to do anything to rectify the situation. Of course, everyday life can grind us down. You get those people at work. We're all getting that wee bitty older. Or maybe our partner or one that we love is suffering from ill health. Or we could have maybe someone in the family that's really misbehaving. What is the biblical solution to our everyday problems? To be God-centered, handing all our problems over to Him. To be God-centered does not mean that we deny our problems or put on rose-coloured glasses. But it does mean that we view our problems from God's perspective. And as we focus on God in every situation, things will become so much easier. Our worship will be enhanced if each of us has been praising God wherever we're at during the week. We all should start our day by focusing our thoughts on God. on who he is and what he has graciously done for us. As we do, our hearts will be filled with praise, adoration, and joy. Our days at work, at home, at school, or wherever we are, should be punctuated with thoughts and expressions of praise. Sundays should be the highlight of our week as we gather together to praise our great God. It is not to be a somber, formal exercise devoid of joy. Yes, we need to be reverent, as it is fitting in the presence of our holy God. Of course, there is a place for soberness as we bring our sins before God and think of our Lord's death on the cross. But God also wants his people to celebrate his goodness. We are not at God's funeral. We serve a risen Saviour. Our faces should reflect that we are enjoying God and his bountiful provision for us in Jesus. In our reading from Luke this morning, Jesus casts out the demon from the boy. The disciples' lack of faith had prevented them from driving out this demon, Yet Jesus showed the true power of God, and the boy was immediately healed and the demon cast out. Jesus would have been fully aware of the great torment that resulted from demonic activity. He certainly did not play games with demons. He rebuked them and he drove them out. Demons from Satan's legions are not fun. They are dangerous. But the Gospels reveal to us that Jesus is stronger and the demons flee at his very name. This is only one of the miracles that Jesus performed. But each time the miracles are performed, whether it is turning water into wine, making the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers clean, we see the true nature of God. We are so fortunate to have such a great God, and we need to give him thanks. Isaiah predicts, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord's armies will make this happen." Our short lives here on earth can be plagued with worry. I've got a few myself, you know, we all carry these worries. But we do not need to face them alone. The promised Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, is right here with us, and he wants us to grow in his love. Only through him can we be saved. The battle is won. His victory over death is complete. Love has won. Death has lost. We need to fully accept him into our lives, into our hearts, not just on a Sunday morning, but in everything we do. So why don't we set our alarm clocks to ring that little bit earlier each morning? This won't be easy. I can hardly get up at 6:30, but I will try. And just get down on our knees, if we can, sitting's fine, and pray, giving thanks to God for all he has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer can make such a difference to our lives. My appeal this morning is not a censure saying that we don't pray enough. Rather, it's an appeal. Let us look at our lives, see our desperate needs, and joyfully turn to the one who wants us to ask him for help. Remember, God gives miracles to those who believe, courage to those with faith, hope to those who dream, love to those who accept, and forgiveness to those who ask. Our way of life has changed so much in the last few years. It's certainly not for the better. People in power have moved away from God, and our Christian way of life is kind of under attack. You've got to be careful with your words, but we're being pushed into the corner. We've not to just say these things that we used to. Well, I won't stay in the corner. I'm coming out fighting. Jesus calls on us, just like he did with his disciples, to go out and take his message to the world. We need to stay faithful, we need to stay strong, and we need to stay firmly embedded in our Saviour's love. Easter time is Easter time, not a time for chocolate eggs, as they call them, or happy holidays. It must remain the time that we remember our Lord's death and resurrection. It is the same with Christmas. We must remember our Saviour's birth and remember exactly the true meaning of Christmas. It is not just a time to give presents. It must always remain about Jesus. God has given us his word. Right here for us all to read, and we must live by it. His promises still stand, and we can look out onto the world with optimism and hope, even in a world as troubled as ours, because we know it is filled with God's promise, and God keeps his promise. We really have a wonderful God who will not abandon us in our time of need, but we need to remain faithful to him for the rest of our earthly lives and beyond. When we worship together, pray together, let us with all our hearts, our bodies and our minds come before him and proclaim, "My God, how great thou art," for his name's sake. Amen.